This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch the Boy Wonder here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, except, of course, when he's in Morocco attempting to track down one of those suicide hijackers. He speaks fluent Arabic and French, and he's a convert to Islam, and if anyone can pull this off, Kevin can. I'm looking forward to having him on the show next week to find out his success. In the meanwhile, today I'm continuing our discussion about the possibility of TV and video fakery involved in the attacks on the Twin Towers, which has in the past featured Rosalie Grable, also known as the Web Fairy, and Peggy Carter, who will be returning next week on Wednesday. Today it's a great pleasure to welcome to the show a fellow known as Killtown, whom I shall refer to as KT. And KT, welcome to the Dynamic Duo.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Why don't you give us a little bit of a sketch about your background, where you grew up, went to school, and how you got involved in this 9/11 research stuff.
Well, I'm one of the few who chooses to remain anonymous because I'm no one special. I'm just an average Joe who cares about his country and is against corruption. I kind of chose to stay anonymous for obvious safety reasons, and also having your real name and face out there just gives the attackers something, more ammunition to use against you. So my words are the same whether I'm out in the open or anonymous. So,
well, it's certainly a point to your observation in the following respect, namely that it's the validity of ideas or how well they are supported by the evidence that matters and not who happens to offer them. I mean, somebody who happens to be an alcoholic or somebody who suffers from emotional problems or what have you could nevertheless have a brilliant idea. And it's very important to evaluate the worth of their ideas separately from their source. In logic, in terms of informal fallacies, in fact, to attack an idea because of its source is known as the genetic fallacy. And when you spend a lot of time attacking the source as though that would discredit the idea, that's known as the ad hominem argument. And, of course, as you well know, KT, these are abundant in the area of 9/11 research, where I cannot imagine any group that's been subjected to more ad hominem attacks than those who are associated with the idea that there may have been video fakery involved in, for example, television broadcasts related to the Twin Towers. I've seen enough now with Peggy Carter and with Rosalie Grable that I'm convinced that some of the footage that we have out there was faked. I'm also convinced that the Nade Brothers video is not a very reliable source of evidence, that it's so nebulous and indistinct that it's very difficult to see how it can support the conclusion that a Boeing 757 actually hit the building, and that other videos, such as this so-called Pavel video, is rather obviously contrived or faked. So I'm very interested in what you want to contribute to this debate. Peggy Carter showed me a number of videos with which you're undoubtedly familiar, where you're looking at the towers, for example, and you see the Verrazano Bridge moving in the background, even though the perspective on the tower is remaining constant. Others in which, although you're looking at the same front of one of the towers, the background is rotating around you, which, of course, is physically impossible. So these and other examples are convincing me that there's a lot of video fakery out there. Now, exactly what it adds up to is a very serious question, and I hope you might contribute to our understanding of that issue today. I'm also optimistic that you have in mind taking us to a website, probably your own, which seemed to me to be just loaded with all kinds of videos. So is that what you'd like to do?
Yeah, sure. Easiest way is you can go to my blog, and that's at killtown.blogspot.com.
Okay.
You can also just Google the word Killtown, it'll bring it up. My first blog post I just mentioned on your show today, and I have some links to follow along at the bottom.
Okay, killtown.blogspot.blog, right?
.com.
Mm-hmm. .blogspot.com?
Correct.
Okay.
And then
okay,
at the bottom,
there. I'm on your homepage.
So at the bottom, I put some links to follow along with. The first link is WTC plane crash videos, where
okay.
I started a collection of all the known videos out there of the first and the second hit. There's three videos of the first hit, really only two videos of the first hit, and then the obvious faked second video was more like a from a security camera or something.
Why don't you take us through these, Killtown? I think we're going to have you know, plenty of time here, and you have such a wonderful page. Why don't you just start at the top and run us through it, even if it's redundant, you know, reviewing things that we've talked about before. I think it will be useful for the audience to go through it with you and get familiar with your website.
Sure. The first one is from the Nade brothers. It's one Rosalie Grable spent a great deal of time analyzing and studying. It's the one that just shows kind of like a blob of pixels fly into the tower. You can't really discern what kind of aircraft it is. It surely doesn't look like a Boeing 767 to me. And this was like one of the first videos I saw that made me very skeptical of planes hitting the tower, at least the ones that they told us.
Should we pop one of these open and take a look?
Yeah, sure. Just go to that first one.
YouTube asterisk?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'm there.
And then you just see, you know, the firemen on the ground and doing the little documentary thing, and then this object flying into the tower. You notice anomalies like a little puff of smoke, you know, exiting the tower before the plane actually hits.
There is a little bit of smoke there, isn't it? I mean, it's just a six-second beauty.
Yeah.
But there is a little puff of smoke before it hits. Isn't that curious?
Yeah, and then also you look at the color of the smoke. I don't know what it is, because it's, if you look at any plane crash, you notice a fireball first, and then thick black clouds of smoke. I'm not sure what these light gray colored smoke is coming out of the North Tower or the South Tower when the supposed plane hits. You know, to me, that's color smoke. It's more of indicative of some type of explosion by bombs or something. So I was kind of weird, was wondering what was causing this light gray colored smoke to come out. I mean, on both hits, you see the plane enter, spotted as a plane, at least in the first one. These two objects enter the tower and this light gray colored smoke come out. Then you see like a fireball come out of the gash or the other sides. And then you start seeing the darker clouds of smoke in some videos. I mean, the videos are weird. They have just different colored smoke, you know, like the ones that looks like were taken by real people in a real setting, you know, the smoke is kind of light-colored. And you look at some of these videos that have no name attached to them, and the colors are really dark. But
how about the YouTube dark at the end? Should we look at that one?
The YouTube at the end is just somebody taking a video at the same place, at the same street and stuff. So it gives you a perspective of what a real video looks like compared to these Nade videos. I mean, we've taken videos at other spots, like Peggy Carter and Fred from BS Registration took videos at Battery Park, and you notice just the color of a normal real video is totally different what we see from these other first and second hit videos.
Excellent. Well, we're going to return momentarily with my special guest, Killtown. We're talking about video fakery, the possibility of video fakery at the World Trade Center and the Twin Towers. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Today, my special guest is Killtown, who's an expert on the videos and documentaries taken of the Twin Towers, and we're on his website at killtownblogspot.com. Where you go to the very first link. And Killtown, what about that Google video, which seems to include both the first and the second hit?
I'd have to watch it real quick. what's the second hit it's showing? Is it the...
We'll go ahead and open it up, and we'll just look at it and talk about it. So here you have the Nade brothers. And there's that hit. And there's some kind of flash or something just before. And as you say, the dust is mostly gray. And then you get the flames emerging. And momentarily, it's gonna take us to the second hit, so it can serve as a transition.
Obviously, a very disturbing live shot there.
So we don't want to overlook the Pavel piece.
Reports this morning that a plane has crashed.
My Google link may not be working.
That's
so.
Working for me.
Plane was coming in.
I'm looking at it right now.
Let me try one time.
It was
really slowly. That line
a minute and 8 seconds. Here's the guy was saying how the doorman tells me that I never seen a plane so low, and then all of a sudden he looked out and boom, it hit the building.
Just the third link, Jim?
Yeah.
For some reason, it's not working for me. I'm not sure why.
Okay, well, here's the second hit just showing. It was just showing the second hit. But if you can't see it, KT, we'll come back to the second hit with some of your other visuals. How about the Pavel? Should we look at that?
Well, just real quickly, this Pavel one, I mean, obviously it's taken very far away. You can't see it, what hits. It's just a little dot across the screen. And, of course, what's interesting is the two people who caught the first hit, the Nazi brothers and the Pavel gentlemen, they also happened to catch the second hit. And
it's interesting that they have Diane Sawyer on there interviewing him, which really hypes it, makes it look like it's very important. And yet, as the web fairy pointed out, you can see a reflection in the back of the car in front of the camera that's coming from a very large red truck that appears to be a fire engine. So his story about how he filmed this appears to be false.
Yeah. But then if you go on and look at their second hit videos, I mean, it's kind of, you know, what's the odds that not only they caught the first, but they also caught the second. If you look closely at both, I mean, they just barely catch the second hit. On the Nade one, they're walking down the street, and they're kind of like zooming up to the towers and back on the street and up in the towers, back on the street. And then all of a sudden they go back to the towers, and then this plane comes in. I mean, so he just barely catches the second hit, and same with kind of Pavel. He's just happened to be at the right spot to catch the plane, and coincidentally on both videos, on both planes, the right wing is kind of disappearing through a number of frames. So, and people like, you know, detractors of no plane theory will say, well, it's crappy video or compression on the video that's making these wings disappear. But I haven't seen any proof to really, like in another video that's heavily compressed or whatever, made any kind of appendages on a moving object disappear. And on these two videos,
is it Stahl? Stahl video? I'm looking at the very first one. It's already animated. I'll open that one.
Yeah, I just have this animated GIF. And clearly you can see this one is fake. I mean, all I did was insert this plain object going in, and then in the last frame, the background changes. But if you notice, like in the first couple frames, the background is perfectly frozen and still, and only the last frame when the explosion happens, the background, everything changes.
Oh, I see. Even the water is retaining the same irregularities on its surface throughout the first several seconds.
Exactly. They just used the same frame and just inserted the plain object in different spots.
And the explosion certainly looks artificial.
Yeah. I mean,
okay.
This one's clearly fake. It's not even close to not being fake.
Okay. What about the YouTube about the woman who claimed that was not American Airlines?
This was in the clip from In Plain Sight. This lady, it's still up to debate as whether she's talking about the hit in the North Tower or the hit in the South Tower, but she's screaming that wasn't an American Airlines.
Why would she be screaming that? I mean, there are so many different airlines. It seems very odd that she would be screaming it wasn't American Airlines. It's not as though somebody had already announced or had somebody already announced it was an American Airlines plane.
Yeah, that is an odd one and stuff. But let's take a look at the little animated GIF on the right by the NIST. It's the red GIF showing the red plane going into the World Trade Center 1 or the North Tower.
Okay, I lost my connection. I'm coming back.
Sure.
Okay, and where are we going?
So go down to number 3 of the first hit, and on the right-hand side, you'll see a little animated GIF of a red plane going into the World Trade Center 1 building, which is the North Tower. This is made by the NIST, and this is showing how flight 11...
Oh, the animation of flight 11 crashing. Okay.
Yeah. Now,
This is indeed a literal animation. I mean, this is supposed to be the plane disintegrating as then as a building, right?
This is the official, saying how the plane went in and stuff. And you can see how the wings totally enter the building. And this is really the problem I had when I first saw close-ups of this, basically the second tower hit. I have an animation of the second tower hit, too, but we'll just stay on this one because it kind of shows the same thing. It's not that I believe, you know, some people say, well, if you believe no plane hit, or let me stop back. People are saying, like, I think, like, none of the planes should have entered the building. Like, nothing should have penetrated. My big thing was I was surprised to see that all of the plane entered the building, like the wing tips and the tail section, which are the weakest of the parts of the plane. Now, if you notice, you know, the wings are swept back, so the first part of the wing that will hit is kind of is what's attached to the fuselage. And then afterwards, you know, the plane is pulling the wings in, so basically the wing is slicing through all these steel girders and continue to slice through. Well, if you ever see what happens to the plane when it hits a bird, I mean, the bird just smashes right into the wing or the tail section.
Yeah.
So I'm very surprised that on these Boeing 767s that supposedly crashed, that these wings were stronger than the steel girders, because they cut through about 10 to 12 steel girders on each side. And they're not like poking through like people say, well, what about a piece of straw sticking into a tree during a hurricane? These things are slicing through, and I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but a couple of times I've broken the tip of a knife when I'm chopping at something, and the tip of the knife breaks off, because
yeah.
the further you get out to the tip yeah. of the knife, the weaker it gets.
Now, I presume that the wings are actually fuel storage areas, so the wings are actually have their mass increased by the presence of all the fuel there.
Well, that's, that could be true for the wings closest to the fuselage, but as it gets further out, you know, there's less and less fuel towards the wingtips, and it gets weaker and weaker. And in these videos, you clearly see 100% of the wings go through all these steel girders, which, to me, I find impossible.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. We'll be right back with my special guest, Killtown. Today, my special guest is Killtown, also known as KT, and we're talking about the possibility of video fakery involving the hits on the Twin Towers, and we've already found some rather interesting effects that don't appear to have been authentic. Killtown, you're talking about bird strikes. When I roll down here, further down the page, of course, a little over half, you have a number of photographs of bird strikes. Maybe it's worthwhile talking about them for just a second.
Yeah, I mean, you can see what happens when basically a plane flies into a bird. I mean, the bird just punctures the wings, the fuselage, the tails, whatever. I mean, the skin of the aircraft is really thin. So just imagine what will happen if the plane strikes steel girders. I mean, first it hits the aluminum cladding on the outside, which is resistance, maybe not much, but resistance. Then you start hitting all these girders. Then, of course, it went through a one floor slab that I think the floor slab was covered with concrete. And interesting, if you take close-up looks at the gashes in the towers, you see no evidence of any plane parts, you know, no aluminum pieces of fuselage dangling around there, embedded into the girders, the facade, or anything. It's just like the plane just totally disappears. What you see in these videos, it just totally vanishes.
And of course, the effect of this plane, which weighs something over 100 tons, hitting that building, which weighs something over 500,000 tons, when it's stationary, is exactly the same effect as if the plane were stationary and it were hit with a 500,000-ton building. So, I mean, you get the same effect as a matter of relativity here, and, you know, a lot of bad things are going to happen to that airplane.
Yeah, and just think how the wings are going to hit. Since the wings are swept back, you know, they're kind of going to act like more like a sword sawing its way through. And the point of contact the wings are going to make with the steel girders is the corners of each girder. So the corners is going to act like a knife. At some point, it should have just hacked that thing right off. And you should have also seen explosions on the facade as the wings are getting crushed and mangled. You should see, like, fire on the facade on the outside. But what do we see? We see the plane totally disappear into the building. Then this weird white smoke come out first on the facade. Then we see this fireball erupting out afterwards. So it's telling me that the plane didn't bust into an explosion until well after it was into the building. And obviously we see this plane that's supposedly going almost 100 miles an hour totally enters the building with almost no resistance. It doesn't seem to slow down at all. It doesn't seem to, like, crumble or anything. It doesn't seem to get any of its parts hacked off.
Okay, so let's back up to some of your second hit videos. Here I see the first one, the WABC-7, which you can see is in action as we look right at it.
Yeah, I made a little GIF for it so you can kind of see what it's doing. And this is really the only live, quote-unquote, live TV shot that people saw. There's three other ones that are quoted as live, but I can't find anybody who actually said they saw any of these other ones live. They only saw this WABC-7 one.
Isn't it astonishing how building the South Tower is perfectly hidden by the North Tower?
Exactly. If you look at any of the videos that show it, you'll see the cameraman or the helicopter kind of zooming around and actually shows the South Tower. And all of a sudden, before the plane's going to hit, it edits to a different cut. And then all of a sudden, the South Tower is completely blocked out by the North Tower. And then what do we see? We just see this little, dark object, the plane silhouette objects skip across the screen. If you slow down the frames, the plane doesn't even fly in uniformly. It just kind of skips around. So there's like missing frames or something.
Well, take us wherever you want us to go, KT. I just want you to take us on an inventory here about hits on the South Tower.
Well, I'll tell you what, go back to my blog at killtown.blogspot.com.
Okay.
And then the second link I have, it says the really, really, really strong wings of United Airlines 175.
Yes.
Okay, if you click that, I made all these GIFs. You're going to have to click on each photo to activate the GIF.
Okay, well, let's start with the first one.
Yeah, and the first one is, it says CNN. This is the Michael Hezarkhani video, which there is no... I have not been able to find any reports of a Michael Hezarkhani on the Internet. So as far as I know, this guy doesn't even exist. But this is what the NIST says took this video. You clearly see, like, the plane just melts into the building, the wings and all. You can see the wingtip even sticking out, which is, like, the weakest part of the plane. Just like it's cutting through.
This is one of the videos, I presume, that gave rise to the phrase butter planes.
Exactly. It's known as the butter plane or the ghost plane video. Also on this one, if you stop the frames, you can see where it looks like parts of the facade is mended in between the wingtip and the fuselage just for like one frame or so. It looks like the facade hasn't even been penetrated. Well, obviously that can't happen, and people are just going to chalk it up as bad video, compressed video or whatever, but I've seen it, all the versions I've seen of this video, you can clearly see where
okay.
like the facade has mended. If you go to the second one,
yep.
This one's even more interesting. You see, looks like its left wing starts to disappear, its left horizontal stabilizer kind of disappear, and again, it just goes into the building like the building was nothing, like it offered no resistance. And then the building, let's see, I forget the length of the 767, but I think when it goes into the thing, it only has 40 feet left to go before it entered the South Tower. So if it didn't meet any resistance going in, it only had 40 feet to just totally disintegrate, which apparently happened because nothing really comes out of the other side. So I don't know what was inside to make the plane just totally stop and disintegrate with 40 feet left to go when it offered no resistance going in.
Okay. Should we go to the camera planet archive?
Sure. This one was taken by supposedly a Jennifer Stell. This one is odd. It has like this little white dot. You can't really see it in the GIF, but it has this white dot coming across, and some people in the 9/11 research community have thought that this was like some kind of guidance, laser guidance system guiding in some kind of drone plane. However, this Jennifer Stell video is the only video that I see this white laser, quote-unquote, laser dot across.
And you're, of course, talking about the number of floors above the actual impact point. On the other hand, just as the plane's about to impact, you do get a kind of a white flash of the kind that Dave von Kleist has focused on in his research.
Yeah, there's this kind of flash. It's only seen on two frames, kind of on and off.
I got to tell you, when I was out in Chandler, Dave Kleist showed four different videos from slightly different perspectives, and you could see the flash in all four of them.
Yeah, except for the first one, the Michael Hezarkhani video, you can't see the flash. For some reason, that one's missing in the flash. But again, in this one, you see the plane just melt through the building. And when I first saw these videos close up, you know, to me it looked like if you're playing on the game Flight Simulator and you take a plane and you crash it into the building, well, what happens? It disappears into the building exactly like these planes you see in these second hit videos.
Have you been able to find any footage of planes, you know, buildings that were hit by planes? I mean, apart from the B-25 that hit the Empire State Building or that little plane that hit an office in Tampa, Florida? Somebody will be right back with my special guest, Killtown. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Today, my special guest in the discussion of video fakery in relation to the hits on the Twin Towers is Killtown. And we're on his blog site and looking at a lot of the videos he has. And, KT, I got to tell you, this one from Camera Planet Archive is really fascinating because the entire plane is inside the building before any explosion takes place. In fact, the clip you got here, the plane's gone and the explosion hasn't even begun yet.
Exactly. The plane totally enters the building with, like, no visible resistance, no crumbling of the plane. None of its parts getting hacked off. And all of a sudden, it just somehow disappears into the building and doesn't come out the other side.
You know, something I think would be very useful is if you had all kinds of photographs of plane crashes of many sorts, even including the clip we've all seen where that jet is run into a nuclear reinforced bunker. And you see the massive explosion, but what they tend not to show you, because they're claiming this is an illustration of how a plane can disintegrate upon impact, they don't show you all the massive debris that remains afterwards. So, your imagination is left to suppose, well, there was nothing left of it because you saw the explosion, but in fact there was a massive debris. Not only that, but it was a nuclear-reinforced bunker. Not only that, but the plane was being artificially held to the ground by being connected to a set of rails. I mean, the whole thing was a phony exhibition.
Yeah, I have my doubts about that video, but then if that video is legit and the demonstration is legit, which, by the way, to my knowledge, hasn't been redone. They haven't done another experiment to confirm that one. But if people believe that that's what happened when a plane at high speed strikes a harder object and the plane just disintegrates, why didn't the tail section or the wingtips of Flight 175 disintegrate it when it hit the harder, stronger steel girders?
Oh, I agree. I think that's a useful contrast to draw, that even if there's a difference in degree, you'd expect there would be some kind of similarity in the way in which the plane just flies into a zillion pieces when it hits that nuclear bunker. Now, presumably, the lattice structure of the building is going to be more forgiving than that massively hard object. But still, I think it would be good, a useful thing to do, to get a lot of these videos of other kinds of crashes that you can find, just so we think more about what ought to be there, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, after all, the impact with the ground, Killtown, presumably the ground, you know, how would we compare the resistance of just hitting Earth versus the resistance of hitting one of these buildings?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it seems like the facade of the World Trade Center just had hardly any resistance, and the plane just went through. But then again, it doesn't come out the other side. So what was inside that was so much stronger than the outside?
Well, that Camera Planet Archive is a good one. Where from there? Should we go to the one below it then, the ABC?
Yeah, this one was taken by Evan Fairbanks, and he's the one who makes the interesting comment that the plane looks like a bad special effect of how it enters the building, and I totally 100% agree with him. It looks like a bad special effect.
He's the guy who took it, or who's supposed to have taken it?
Exactly. He's being interviewed by, I think, Peter Jennings, and he makes the comment that the plane just disappears into the building like a bad special effect. And I agree, it was a bad special effect.
That's very interesting. Do we have his interview somewhere?
Yeah, it's on... I might have the link on my second hit page.
Okay.
We can go back to that a little bit later.
No, I'm going down. This looks a lot like the Fairbanks, too. Is this the Fairbanks?
Yeah, this one's
magnified?
Yeah, that one's just magnified and just shows you how the wings is totally cut through and sliced through the building. And if you ever played Flight Simulator and crashed the plane in, it's the same thing. The plane just totally disappears into the building.
In a video game.
Mm-hmm. Huh. And the next one below is from Spiegel TV.
Okay.
This is probably the first one that kind of led me on to believing in TV fakery and no planes. This one you can clearly see the wing just looks like it totally slices through all those steel girders in the floor slab. And remember, the wings would connect to the corners of the steel girders, which should have acted like a knife and should have hacked off the wing.
I would think that Dave Von Kleist would like this one, too, because you can also see a pretty prominent flash here as the plane just about impacts with the building.
Yeah, and I think that flash is just a TV fakery mishap where they try to get the flash in front of the fuselage nose, but they just, they messed up. They were just a little off.
This one. Have you seen a lot of his footage? You know, he's got these four different perspectives,
mm-hmm.
and you see the...
Yes.
Yeah.
But if they're using the same computer simulation to make these planes look like they're crashing, they're all going to have, like, this flash, it's made... You know, if you ever played Flight Simulator, you can change the perspective any way you want the plane coming in the same route. So I think it's just basically that same kind of computer technology that did all this.
Continue.
Now, if you go back out to the main page, the photo below it just shows a picture of what the steel girders look like on the facade of the World Trade Center, and you can see how massive these steel girders are.
Right.
Just imagine of the fragile wing contacting the corner of one of these steel girders first. I believe the steel girder should act like a knife and just cut right through the wings, just like the birds cut right through the wings when they impact the plane.
Now we'll go to 767's wingtips made of platinum steel, ?
If you can go to the video right below it.
The frozen fireball?
Video.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go back to the really, really strong wings real quick.
Yes, I'm there.
Okay, and you go to the bottom, and you see
the
video. The live video, it says the plane's tail breaks off.
Okay, I'll click
landing. Yeah, it's only 9 seconds. And you see a plane coming in, hitting the ground, what happens? The tail section breaks off. That just shows you how weak the tail section of these planes are. And in all those videos of the second hit, we see the tail section just go through the facade like nothing, met no resistance. It didn't get hacked off or anything.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Now, remember how the plane supposedly came in. It banked very, very hard right before it came in and then kind of lined up straight. Well, I don't know if you've ever been snowboarding, but when snowboarding, you never really go straight. You're always kind of drifting. So if this plane... going through the building and piercing all the way through, it would have to have been going perfectly straight. If it was drifting at all, then at some point along the long fuselage, the part that drifted into the very sharp girders that it just supposedly cut through is going to be caught on the steel sharp steel girders, and the steel girders are going to rip into that fuselage like nothing. So I don't believe a fuselage of these long planes would totally enter. I think half maybe would enter in the but the last half of it would be totally chopped off and should have, like, crumpled up against the facade and bounced to the ground.
Well, I think this hard landing is a pretty nice clip to have for a contrast case. And, of course, the question becomes, does it have more similarities than differences or more differences than similarities? No, there are few but crucial differences. It is a landing, but it certainly does indicate how flimsy is the structure at just that point. In relation to not the tail itself, which, of course, is, from the point of view of structure, very firm, but just before you get to the tail, where it starts to converge and support the vertical and the horizontal stabilizers.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Where now, KT?
Just go back to my blog, and let's scroll down to where it says the South Tower exit hole.
South Tower exit hole.
Now, this is a compilation made by one of the most underrated researchers, in my opinion. His name is Still Digging. And this photo you see is supposed to be the exit hole of the South Tower by Shannon Stapleton.
Okay, you help us find it when we come back right now. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo, with my special guest, Kill Town. We'll be right back. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch Kevin here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. My special guest today is Kill Town, and we're discussing evidence of video fakery in relation to the hits on the Twin Towers. K Catskill Town. We're on your website, of course, and you wanted to take us somewhere, and I'm still looking for the location exactly. I know it's in relation to Still Digging. Can you tell me where I should go?
Yeah, just go back to my blog at killedtown.blogspot.com.
Right, and there.
And there's links. You see in the middle, it says South Tower Exit Hole.
South Tower Exit Hole.
You might have to refresh your screen because I just added it.
Oh, okay. I'll refresh it.
Should be right above or before the frozen fireball link.
Oh, yeah, there it is now. I see it now. Okay, South Tower Exit Hole, got it.
Yeah, so click that one.
I have. The hole that wasn't there?
Exactly. This is made by researchers Still Digging. And what it's showing is this picture taken by Shannon Stapleton is the quote-unquote exit hole of the South Tower where Flight 175 nose should have penetrated. As seen on these little video clips on the left-hand side, the first one at the top says Live New York High Five. It's by Fox 5 TV. You can see what looks like a nose penetrating the north side of the South Tower.
Yeah.
On the videos below that, you can see what looks like a nose cone penetrating. And this is the ones at the bottom. These are the clips that Paul Joseph Watson used on his hit piece against No Planers. And he says this proves that there was a plane because he says you can see the nose cone exit the building. And on a Dan Rather clip, Dan Rather is saying, you know, how this looks like the nose cone just pierces the building. However, if you see the exit, quote-unquote, exit hole of the South Tower, there's really no hole there. So there's no place for this nose cone to exit at all.
Also, when you contrast them, because there's no hole there on the large wheat checks, Judy calls them, on the external peripheral columns, that's inconsistent with the vision of the nose cone, so they can't both be authentic.
Exactly. And again, if you ever played Flight Simulator and you flew a plane into the building, it'll disappear into the building and it's going to come out the other side of the building with its nose cone first. So I think this is kind of what happened. Now, real quick, on the top video,
yeah,
is the Fox 5 TV. This was the other quote unquote live shot, and this one was interesting because when this plane hits, someone turned off the screen and it blacks out for a second and then it comes back on. Well, I think the reason for that was because they knew they screwed up and they know the plane was going to exit the other side and they had to turn it off real quick because they knew they screwed up and then they turned it back on. So it's also been theorized by Still Digging that on these lower clips of the nose cone looking like it came out that they just had to paste it in there because they couldn't have two videos showing two different things.
With and without the nose.
Exactly, and that's why they pasted this nose on this shot on the bottom left. Because
I think it's common knowledge that the nose of a commercial airliner is among its most fragile parts. I mean, it's loaded with electronics, and it really can't withstand any kind of impact, as I understand it.
Exactly, and then if you watch the remaining of the video, what happens is the fireball engulfs this quote-unquote nose cone coming out, and then you don't see the nose cone anymore, like the nose cone just totally disintegrated. So it was strong enough to resist all these steel girders, columns, floor slabs, everything inside the building. But when it broke through the steel girders on the other side, which we can't see on the south or on the exit hole photo, it just totally magically disappears when the fire erupts around it.
Can we see the footage from, you say, is it New York Fox 5 where this glitch
yes.
occurs?
Go to my plane crash video collection where the second hit video started. It's number two. It's Fox 5. And you can click on the first one.
Second video, Fox 5.
I'm sorry. Click on the second one because YouTube deleted the...
News?
Click on the one that says Fox 11.
Fox 11. Is it in the second set?
Yes, the second set under the Fox 5.
Oh, yeah, okay, Fox 11. I got it. Fox 11 WFQQ?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I'm on.
So what you see is this: the camera zoomed out, then all of a sudden it zooms in really quickly, and then zooms in once more as this plane coming, and then you see the.
It's not playing for me for some reason, Kiltan. It's not playing.
Oh, you may want to load it again. The Fox 11 one.
Okay. I'll go back and see if I can reload it.
Congressman Tony Snow read a statement.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Okay.
Yeah. It appears to back sharply and smash.
Okay, I'm looking now.
Perhaps purposely into. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, there's that. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. There's another one. Seems to be.
And what do you think again, Kempel, this is very interesting. What do you think is actually going on there?
Well, if you notice, I mean, look at where the logo is of the TV station logo. It's right where this plane is going to pass through to further obscure it. I think what happened is this is basically flight simulator technology they use for this artificial plane to come in, and it went too far, and they realized it, so that's why they cut off the feed real quick, and that's why you see it black out momentarily. And then come
so
back
this is,
on.
This is a layered phenomenon where we have, as it were, layers of film, and you got the foreground, and then the plane's in the background?
Yeah, essentially. And also,
they allowed it to go too far by
mistake.
Yeah, I
think it's messed up, yeah.
So they tried to cut it off by bleeping it, but then they realized they had a problem. Do you think there could have been a time lag there? I mean, the audio is continuous, or seems to be continuous. Is there even is there a break in the audio, can you tell?
No, there seems to be no break in the audio, so it was just the visual effect that they were trying to stop because they knew that they messed up. But what's interesting, if you notice, if you go back and watch it again, you know, it's panned out, it's zoomed out, and all of a sudden it zooms in and then zooms in once more before this plane comes across the side. So this is what's called the zoom clue. And if you notice a lot of these videos, it's like they know when to pan in and pan out. Just as this plane's coming in, they know when to zoom up real quick or zoom out real quick, as if they know what's about to happen.
Uh-huh.
And this is on this is on a lot of videos. So the odds are that it's all coincidental is astronomical.
That's very interesting. Actually, as I watch this, it's a whole lot more than just the nose poking out there. There's a whole lot of that plane sticking out there. I mean, that must be 20, 30 feet at least of that plane.
Exactly. So I think it's just a mess up on their part, and that's why they blacked out the screen momentarily. It's the only one of the videos that have the screen blackout.
Well, let's just talk about this one for a few minutes. If you have a theory then about if the plane itself is a video add-on, what about the explosions? What do you think about those?
You know, that would be anybody's guess. I think the explosion was maybe an internal doing. I know in the South Tower, above the point of impact, there was diesel storage tanks. But when I first saw the second hit and I saw that amazing explosion outside that shocked and awed everybody, the first thing that came to mind was, wow, that was better than Hollywood could do that. Now, normally, Hollywood's explosion looks better than real-life explosion. So when I said it looked like a Hollywood or better than a Hollywood explosion, you know, I kind of stopped in my tracks, and I went, oh, my gosh, I wonder if that was all, like, planned to do that, to shock and awe the world so we can march off to all our wars in Afghanistan and the Middle East.
It's just astonishing how you get that blackout right there. That's really bizarre.
Yeah, because I think they're just trying to cover up their faux pas, you know, their mistake.
Fascinating, fascinating. We'll be right back with my special guest, Killtown. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. In the meanwhile, my special guest today is Killtown, and we've been looking at a lot of videos on his website at killtownspotblog.com. Here now we're on his the page of videos, and we've been looking at Fox 11 asterisk. Very interesting. Why don't you pick it up from there, Killtown, and tell us where you want us to go.
Let's see. How about... we go to number four, the Chopper 4 video, WNBC. And this is supposedly another live shot that no one really saw live. It's a very rare shot. And if you click the YouTube link, or the Chopper 4 link, I'm sorry.
Okay, tell me again, where am I?
Okay, on my video.
Chopper 4, WNBC, yeah.
Yeah.
The Chopper 4, first one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, this was supposedly live on an NBC affiliate, but no one remembers seeing this one live. And it pans back, pans out, and you see this little speck. It's really hard to see, but this little speck is supposedly via 767 enter. And then it zooms in to catch the fireball, explosion and stuff. And this is what I'm saying. Like, everything seems to zoom in and zoom out just at the right time, just if they know what was happening. you know.
Well, I'm going to back
now,
that out.
Also, is it interesting on this one, is it supposed to be taken on a helicopter. Well, it is taken on a helicopter. But you see how the video kind of like banks to the right and banks to the left. I thought those video cameras should be like a gyroscope, so they're very stable. I don't know why it's going to the left and to the right, unless the helicopter pilot's just a bad pilot and can't go still. But this little speck you see.
Pretty spectacular,
you know,
fireball there.
Yeah, you can't make it out what kind it is. It doesn't look like a 767.
Well, I don't see any plane at all. I mean, you're telling me there's a little speck there that's coming up? I don't see it.
Yeah.
I don't even see the speck.
There's a little speck that comes in.
I mean, see, I want something that appears to be a boat off in the Hudson.
Yeah, if you go to my website, and if you click on the little photo, not the link, but the photo, I have a little red circle, so you kind of see where I circled the little speck coming in. Helps you give a perspective of where what angle it's coming in.
Okay, I'm going to go back. Where should I look, KT?
The chopper 4?
Yeah, I'm there.
And you click the image. And then you see where it circles in the red dot, or the red circle.
Oh, that's the plane?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's the plane that's supposed to come in.
So this is
really
behind the buildings, huh?
Yeah, we just uncovered this video. It's really rare, and it's interesting that a live, quote-unquote, live shot has been so rare and hard to find. And as I said, it seems like only the first one, the WABC-7, was the only one that was shown worldwide to everybody. No one remembers seeing these other three live on TV. We've only seen them afterwards. So if they were live on TV, they're only on their local TV stations. Only seen by a few people.
Well, I tell you, isn't it something? It's amazing how people, when they see something on television, they're just so convinced that it's real, even though they see things on television all the time that aren't. I mean, how many of those bodies being blown to bits or people being machine gunned and all that other stuff are real, and yet people take for granted?
Exactly.
It's unbelievable.
Let's jump down to number 10.
Okay.
And it's called a Detroit Public TV shot.
Right.
Now, this one is weird because this plane, if you click on the image, you'll see the larger version of the little GIF. Well, it appears. It's just a short GIF, so it's not the whole thing. But you can see it just appears out of thin air. So it's obviously it's been edited.
Yeah.
And that building in the foreground seems to be the Empire State Building.
Yeah, sure it is. Yeah, it is.
Now, if you click on the YouTube link, hopefully it's still up.
Yeah.
See the full shot.
Okay.
It's only ten seconds long.
Oh, yeah. These are great.
Yeah, so it just appears out of the air. So
yeah, it just popped out of nowhere.
Yeah, so whether it was just edited for the show or what, but, you know, why are they editing this like this? Why did they make it just pop out of the air like that? You know, they didn't have to edit it to make a dramatic effect like that.
Very strange. Very strange. Good. More.
Okay, so now let's drop down to number 13.
13, okay.
Yeah, and hit the first YouTube link with the asterisk.
Okay.
Head on view shot. So you see the plane coming in, and you see it start to pan out at the very last second, right?
Yeah, I see the plane come in, yeah.
Yeah. Now I want you to jump back to my blog, and I want you to go to the link called The Frozen Fireball.
All right.
I just found the full coverage of the exit and when he's
getting
out.
Okay, the frozen fireball.
Yeah, now skip the video because it's a little bit long, but if you drop down to a second, you'll see the animated GIF I made of the video panning out.
Yeah, it's panning out, but the image is staying the same. The smoke isn't moving.
Exactly. That's why I call it the frozen fireball, because with these like 10 or 12 frames, the fireball is not growing, and you see the debris below it suspended in midair.
And then we got a big crane ship or something coming up, you see in the lower right?
Yes. But focus back on the first one.
Yeah.
Now, usually when you pan out, if you notice the frames that are being panned out, they're not as good resolution and quality as the ones that aren't panned out fast. And you can see all these frames are the same quality.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Go to the bottom one, and you see where at the very end you see this crane in the bottom, white crane in the bottom right. Start to swing around and continuing to swing even though the video camera has stopped panning out. You also know at the very end, like the video camera kind of banks to the right and banks to the left, creating kind of some kind of movement. So what is this white crane? Obviously, this person has to be on top of a high-rise or something, because what is this crane doing?
I think they brought in the crane to give the impression of continuous motion, see, since the crane is moving. It looks like it's something they could easily introduce in order to do that.
Exactly.
And yet the smoke, notice the pattern of smoke isn't altering at all, and of course the fireball is exactly constant, and nothing else seems to be moving. This is a very interesting illusion.
Now, back to the one, the animation with the crane coming.
See, what I like about that one is it obviously has to be deliberate, because you got no motion in the smoke and no motion in the fireball, but you have the panning back and you have the addition of the crane to give the illusion of motion.
Exactly.
That's very clearly contrived. I like that, KT. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. We'll be right back with my special guest, Killtown. Stand by. Special guest today is Killtown. And we're looking at evidence of video fakery in relation to 9/11, in particular the hits on the Twin Towers. And I got to say, Killtown, there's an awful lot of evidence that very funny things were going on here. I think those who profess such skepticism simply haven't looked at the evidence. And, of course, I got to confess that for a very long time I put this off and put this off and put this off. But, I mean, things like the frozen fireball and the revolving background or the rotating towers and other images like that are very powerful evidence that an awful lot of the videos have been faked.
Exactly. You have to go through these. And I didn't become a quote-unquote no-planer pro-TV fakery until I collected all these videos. And even seeing these so-called amateur videos, I saw all these anomalies in them, like the zoom clue, like they zoom in and out at the right time, some of the things they say that seem to be overacting and stuff like that. When you see, you know, you see one anomaly in one film, you just pass it off as just an anomaly. But when you constantly see anomaly after anomaly, chances are that they're all anomalies, just become astronomical.
Okay, now we have two segments left, so I want you to carry us through whatever you think is most important that we haven't looked at yet.
Okay, well, let's stay on this frozen fireball real quick, because I think you'll like this one. Go back to the animated GIF that shows the white crane entering.
Yes.
Now, you see by the water line, you see that freeway where the cars are moving? Okay, what color are all those cars?
White.
Yeah, isn't that kind of weird? They're all white. I haven't seen any different color cars on that little highway. So I guess what we're expected to believe is during this few seconds of film, there's only white vehicles going across that freeway.
So you got a frozen fireball and frozen smoke, but you got a moving crane, and then you have a bunch of little cars that are moving. They all appear to be white.
Yeah, the same color as the moving crane.
That's clearly fakery. And the improbability is overwhelming.
So let's go on to, back to my blog, last link.
Okay.
Second to the last link, it says TV fake explains the pod phenomenon.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is the Michael Heather Cooney video, and if you go down to the first video, I slowed these down and just and click on load. This is the video that shows the quote-unquote pod.
Okay.
Go to the second video, actually. It's a little bit more clear.
Well, I saw the first.
Okay. Go to the second one. It's a little bit more better quality.
Okay, I'll go back to the second one.
So what you'll see is you'll see the plane entering at the top left-hand corner, coming in front of the blue sky. And if you pause it, you'll notice that the plane, there's no, you can't really see any anomalies on the plane. It looks perfect, you know.
It looks normal,
and
yeah.
You can see how good a quality is, even though this plane is supposed to go in 600 miles an hour, but this, you know, this amateur video camera takes a great picture. Now look what happens when the plane comes out of the blue background and enters the black background of the smoke. You'll start to see the wings, the left wings kind of disappearing, and underneath it you'll start to see where this quote-unquote pod just forms out of thin air, and this pod continues to grow, you know, bigger and bigger as the plane is about to hit the facade.
It does seem to grow bigger and bigger. That's very odd.
Yeah, so this is what people like Dave Von Kleist and Phil Jahan and what was in Loose Change 1, where they said this pod was under this drone plane and it fires out a missile a fraction of a second before it hits the facade. Well, if you look at this video, you can see there's no pod underneath it as the plane enters. It's the blue sky. But as soon as it passes into a different color, meaning the black smoke, great building, all of a sudden the wings kind of start to disappear, and this pod forms underneath of it out of nothing and grows bigger and bigger. Well, I just think that was just a mishap of the computer simulation. You know, think of like a weatherman or what's it called, when someone's dressed in blue in a movie and they put another layer of video on top of it. You know, if they're always in a blue background, they're fine, but once they get out of the blue background, then the computer gets confused because it's looking at that blue screen.
So we go back to the first one?
Yeah, the first one is just another version of it, and slow down again.
Oh, it's exactly the same. It's just with a different lighter contrast and so forth.
Exactly, and you can see the same thing where, you know, it doesn't appear, nothing's wrong, no oddities of the plane, but as soon as it passes into the smoke and the building, you see what looks like some bulge underneath it, what some people think is the pod, and I think, you know, that is how the pod is explained. It's saying it's TV fakery, and it's just it's passing in front of a different color. The computer got confused, and it's just making these anomalies on the plane.
So it was some in the software. Maybe there was some instruction that nobody had noticed. So it was a little glitch in the software that created this.
Exactly. That's what I think it is. Because obviously, if it's a CGI plane, then it's not a. There's no pod underneath it.
You know, I gather that there have been inquiries made of Boeing and about the pod, and the Boeing people have said they know what it is. But for reasons of national security, they weren't able to identify it. And I have done some, you know, poking around on my own, and it looks as though it's this this flight management system that allow something like that actually is on planes with this flight management system that allows taking over control of the plane from the ground. If, for example, hijackers had hijacked the plane, you could still wrest control of the plane away from it. So it may be a coincidence that planes with that flight maintenance system have this kind of bulge on the side and that we see it here.
Or they're just trying to still make us believe that they use real planes. And I think it would be more damaging to the perps if the American public find out that they use no planes and they use TV fakery instead. Because it's basically like that one movie, Wag the Dog, with John Travolta and Dustin Hoffman, where they created an artificial war that didn't exist. But everybody believed it.
It wasn't Travolta. It was Dustin Hoffman. I don't recall who was playing the president, but, you're right.
I thought it was John Travolta, so.
Was it Travolta?
It was.
Yeah.
I thought it was. But anyway, you get the point, you know.
Yeah. It was Dustin Hoffman was the producer who was to create the phony war.
Yeah, and he was the media.
It might have been De Niro. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
What do we look at now? WTV Photo Gallery?
Well, I want to kind of explain. You know, people have been asking me, you know, why fake a plane crash? Why not use a real plane? It would just be much simpler to crash a real plane into the towers. First, I'd like to say that, you know, a lot of people who don't believe in no plane TV fakery at the World Trade Center, they believe that no Boeing hit the Pentagon. So when they ask, why don't they use just a real plane at the World Trade Center? Well, I have to come back and ask, why didn't they use a real plane at the Pentagon? And my second thing is that the reason I think that they didn't use a real planes at the World Trade Center is just way too risky. Because wouldn't you agree that one of the main points of the perps plan on 9/11 was to take down the towers?
Yeah.
Okay. So what if they used a drone plane and the drone plane was the target?
Yeah.
You think they will be able to drop the towers?
Yeah. And, of course, Morgan's pointed out why this line of research is so terribly important, because if there were no planes, then obviously there were no hijackers. If there were no hijackers, then there weren't any Islamic terrorists who were attacking America on 9/11 and no justification for the war in Afghanistan and the invasion of Iraq and the whole rest of it.
And let's risk the screw-up.
Yeah, we'll be right back, and we'll continue this conversation with Killtown. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Stand by. Today, my special guest has been Killtown, and we've been discussing evidence of video fakery at the Twin Towers. I must say, KT, I think that you have provided a lot of very convincing examples that an awful lot of these videos were faked and that they raise the most serious questions about whether planes did or did not hit the World Trade Center, and obviously if they're faking a lot of planes, you have to ask why in the world fake them if, in fact, actual planes were hitting the World Trade Center. The rationale for why they would perhaps want to pull off such fakery, I think, becomes very important. As you're emphasizing the idea that it may be hard to hit those towers, I have received communications from pilots who said they could try it, you know, and they might be able to do it one time out of five when you're traveling at 500 or 600 miles an hour. So that's a very important consideration. It would be easy to miss. And,
exactly.
Of course, as Morgan points out, if you don't have the planes, you don't have the hijackers, you don't have the Islamic fundamentalists, you don't have the terrorist attack. At the Pentagon, I'm inclined to think that they needed to use a missile because they wanted to target a specific group occupying that West Wing that had just been newly refurbished, a group of accountants, budget experts, and so forth, who were trying to track the $2.3 trillion Donald Rumsfeld had announced to Congress the day before that was missing. I can just see him telling them that now he's been embarrassed by, you know, telling Congress it was missing, that their job was to be at their desk the first thing in the morning so they could track that money. And then using a missile to take them out and all of their records so that the possibility of actually discovering what happened to that money is going to go up in an instant. And you need to use a missile because it can be precisely targeted, unlike a small plane. Where the pilots for 9/11 Truth Now have studied the black box data they've been provided to the government under the Freedom of Information Act, and they've discovered several anomalies. For example, that according to the government, the flight to the Pentagon was a northerly trajectory and hit the building at an angle, but from the black box data, it was a southerly trajectory that came perpendicular. According to the government, the plane was low enough to hit the lamppost. According to the black box data, it was 300 feet in the air, too high to hit the lamppost. In fact, a second before the impact with the building, it's at 100 feet. The building's only 77 feet high, which means that according to the black box data, assuming there was such a plane, it flew over the Pentagon. Well, I believe now that this much smaller aircraft, possibly an A-3 Sky Warrior, fired a missile into the building almost about the same time before it hit the building itself. It was very consistent with the report of a friend of mine who had a buddy who was a trucker in front of the Pentagon who said he saw a big commercial airliner fly toward the building and then swerve over it, yet later insisted to my friend that a plane had hit the building even though he hadn't seen a plane hit the building. I think we can reconcile a lot of the eyewitness testimony, much of which has to be fabricated, however, so that people run together psychologically, the idea of seeing a plane and there's a hit and they assume the plane caused the hit when it was a distinct causation. Plus, you know, the plane coming so fast, it's supposed to be over 500 miles an hour. This is an unexpected phenomenon. It's covering just a couple of hundred yards of Pentagon grass. It's going to happen in a, you know, fraction of a second. You're not going to be able to identify what kind of plane it is. I mean, a 7, 27, 37, 47, 57, 67. How many people could even draw that kind of knowing distinction versus, say, something else that was made up to look like a plane of that kind? So. You don't see, you know, from all the photographs there, the clear, green, unblemished lawn, you don't see a mess of eyewitnesses all around there. I mean, where in the world were these people supposed to be? It's easy to fake testimony. When I was a Marine Corps officer and supervising 300 recruits and 15 drill instructors, if I had wanted to, I could have had 300 sworn oaths that every one of those recruits had watched Bruce Wayne drive his Batmobile into the Pentagon. I mean, this is child's play.
And TV fakery is a reason why they did it, because if they did have some kind of flyby by the World Trade Center, that's one reason to have TV fakery, is because they don't want to show video of a flyby of a plane. But if you show fake video, you can edit out anything you want, including a flyby of a plane.
Yeah, I think that may well be right. And, of course, then the alleged debris that is supposed to be found has to be planted, like there's some wheel from a landing gear, but I take it it's from... I think it's from maybe a 737, not from a 767.
Yeah. Well, can you imagine if they used a drone plane and hit the towers, but only half of it penetrated and the other half bounced back and onto the ground? The perpetrators would be dead, because people would see a drone aircraft in the bottom of the World Trade Center with no passengers in it, no passenger seats, no luggage, and they'd have a lot of explaining to do.
Yeah.
I mean, how would they know that if they use drones, how would they know these drones would 100% penetrate into the buildings? Yeah. If it messed up in any way, if it missed its target, if it hit like in the corner of the building and half of it flew off on the side, you know, they would be dead. If the plane didn't penetrate all the way, they'd be dead, because then people wouldn't believe that the towers came down from planes, because if the plane didn't penetrate all the way inside and did all the damage, then they wouldn't have a good believable story of how these the World Trade Centers could have collapsed. I mean, that's the main point of 911, is to drop those towers. And if you didn't have a convincing reason of how the towers dropped, then you couldn't, you know, they couldn't drop the towers. And that's why I think they use no planes, and they use simulated planes on video to make people believe that these planes penetrated all the way inside, blew up on the inside. You can see the fireball come out on each side. So in their minds, there was lots of damage. So they can think, you know, it's believable to think that, oh, well, that's why they dropped, because the planes crashed in all the way and all that. But if the plane missed, you know, if a plane bounced off and blew up on the outside, well, the perps are going to have a hard time convincing people how that could drop, make the towers collapse.
Yes, and of course, the towers were designed to withstand the impact of the then largest commercial airliners, which were Boeing 707s, very similar in their mass, their size, their fuel load to the 767s that actually were supposed to have hit the building, except the 707s actually have a cruising speed that's nearly 100 miles greater than the 767, so that if 707 had hit the building, it would actually cause much more damage than a 767. And of course, if you assume planes hit the building, then it's obvious they withstood the impact. They didn't collapse. And that was just what Frank DeMartini, who was a project manager, and at least three other engineers I discovered had said about the possibility of a plane impact, that the intricate lattice structure and the sophisticated load redistribution capability designed into the 47 core columns was such that there'd be local damage, but it would pose no threat to the buildings. I must say, I've always heretofore been inclined to believe that these were 767s that were military versions used as jet refueling tankers, so you'd have a larger supply of jet fuel for a more spectacular fireball. But after going through all of this with Webb Ferry, with Peggy Carter, and with you, Kiltown, I must say I'm very, very much disposed to say that the evidence of video fakery is extremely powerful. And I think that it's very difficult to justify the claim that a 767 hit the building. I mean, I just don't see the evidence for it. And the existence of all of this fakery certainly creates a presumption that they weren't hit by these planes. So, I mean, at the very least, the claim that the buildings were hit by a plane is not proven, at the very least. The existence of video fakery, on the other hand, is proven. And when you relate the two of those together, you have to ask, why in the world, if planes actually hit the buildings, was it necessary to fake so much video?
Exactly. And then also look what happened a year before the attacks. CNN hired Army PSYOPs people. Is that just a coincidence? And you notice a lot of these anomalies in the videos, they come from CNN. So, you know, people ask, you know, well, is the media in on it? Well, yes, they were in on it. And they had Army PSYOPs people helping, you know. Everybody knows the media and the Army are tied in. So that shouldn't be any big surprise. And all you have to do is, you know, show people anything you want on TV. And if it looks real, like, how would they know better? You know, you have to, like, analyze each frame by frame. And the average American's not going to sit down in video and look at each frame by frame and make their own conclusions.
Kiltown, I can't thank you enough. You got a spectacular website. I'm certainly going to add a post, a link to it, and I hope we're going to get a lot of listeners who are going to follow up on this. This is extremely important stuff. I want to thank you for coming on.
Oh, thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
My great pleasure. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Thank you for listening.